live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 13th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street awaits a key reading on inflation and earnings from J.P. Morgan.
The global chip shortage hits Apple's iPhone production.
The House signs off on a short-term increase to the government's debt limit.
And corporate America rebuffs Texas over vaccine mandates.
We now know how Long Island native Gabby Petito was killed, plus a project to build a rail link connecting New York City to LaGuardia Airport has been put on hold. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. MLB wins for the Astros, Braves, and Dodgers. Kyrie Irving won't play for the Nets, and the Rangers begin their season tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And U.S. futures are nudging higher this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 51, NASDAQ futures up 68. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.56%, yield on the 2-year 0.34%. Nathan.
Karen, inflation has been the main concern in the markets this week and really for the past few months. And today, we get a key reading on the measure with consumer prices for September. We'll be looking for clues on whether inflation is waning or gathering steam. Here with more, Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Inflation still wasn't transitory in September, economists say. A 10% rise in oil prices during the month and the increase in gasoline costs that go with it likely pushed up headline inflation. Ongoing supply chain bottlenecks due to a combination of natural disasters and COVID kept pressure on manufactured goods, pushing up core inflation. Inflation is seen trending down in the so-called reopening categories, including rental cars and airfares, but after dropping for several months, used car prices are again on the rise. The rising price of housing should also feed into September's numbers. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. When it comes to inflation, Fed officials are weighing in ahead of today's report. Atlanta President Raphael Bostic said the surge in prices is lasting longer than expected. He's no longer calling it transitory. Still, the stage is set for the central bank to start pulling back on bond purchases. That's according to Fed Vice Chair Richard Clarida.
The substantial further progress standard has more than been met with regards to our price stability mandate. And as of the September meeting, had all but been met with regards to our employment mandate. The committee indicated that if progress continues as expected, we judge that a moderation in the pace of our purchases might soon be warranted.
And Fed Vice Chair Richard Clarida said inflation risks are tilted to the upside. He spoke at the Institute of International Finance's annual membership meeting.
We got one more note on the Fed this morning, Karen. It looks like Vice Chair for Supervision Randy Quarles will be removed from that role after his title expires this week. Quarles is the main watchdog for Wall Street lenders. He will now share oversight responsibilities with Governors Lyle Brainard and Michelle Bowman.
On Wall Street today, Nathan, the curtain rises on third quarter earnings season. It all kicks off with results from J.P. Morgan Chase, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
J.P. Morgan's results are expected to set the tone for big bank stocks. Investors will be paying close attention to loan growth, which has been a difficult area in recent quarters for the banking sector. Revenue is expected to be about flat versus a year ago. Earnings are seen rising about 2% to $2.97 a share. Topics likely to come up in the bank's conference call include its views on interest rates and inflation. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. Shares of Apple are lower by about 0.6% this morning. Even the world's biggest company is not immune to the global chip crunch. Apple is now cutting back on iPhone production targets. Ed Baxter has the story from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Apple is likely to slash its projected iPhone 13 production targets for the year by as many as 10 million units. It says it's having supply chain problems from two suppliers, Broadcom and Texas Instruments. There are reports that already the retail is feeling it, with some stores saying that current orders may not ship until mid-November, although that is not the case for all orders. Now, Apple, of course, has great leverage in its bulk orders and ability to sell, so this goes a long way to show just how deep the problem runs. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And turning to the nation's capital now, the debt ceiling crisis has officially been averted for the moment. The House has signed off on a short-term increase to the government's debt limit. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The vote was mostly along party lines, and while it helps avoid an immediate financial calamity, it also sets the stage for another partisan confrontation in less than 2 months. That gives lawmakers some time to work on a longer-term plan, but Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell has already signaled another battle ahead when he said in a letter to President Biden, Senate Republicans will not cooperate with Democrats in raising the debt limit again. Republicans want the Democrats to use reconciliation to lift the debt cap without Republican support. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats have no intention of doing that. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. Turning to the pandemic now, Texas appears to be losing its battle with corporate America over vaccine mandates. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Companies from American Airlines to IBM are rebuffing Texas Governor Greg Abbott's order banning private employers from mandating COVID-19 vaccines. Instead, they're choosing to follow President Biden's directive for the shots. This shows the difficult path ahead for the Republican governor's rule, which is supposed to be enforceable by fines, but could get mired in legal limbo. The statements are also likely to fan the flames of conservative anger over President Biden's support for vaccine mandates. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Back in Washington, the Labor Department has sent an emergency regulation to the White House that would force private sector companies to require employee vaccinations or virus testing. Although the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs can sometimes take months to conclude its analysis, President Biden called for an expedited process, and that means the office could give its okay in as little as a day.
And Karen, the U.S. is relaxing coronavirus restrictions at its borders with Canada and Mexico. The restrictions will be eased for vaccinated travelers like next month, allowing for non-essential travel like tourism. Futures moving higher this morning, and straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, 64 degrees in Central Park. We have an accident on the upper level of the Verrazano Bridge on the way into Brooklyn. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A project to build a rail link connecting New York City to LaGuardia Airport has been put on hold. The Port Authority said it is pausing the project to consider alternatives. New York Governor Kathy Hochul had criticized the project. Predecessor Andrew Cuomo was a big supporter of the 1.5-mile elevated link. The FAA issued environmental approval in July, but recently had asked the Port Authority to reconsider in light of a lawsuit filed by neighborhood and environmental groups. The roughly $2 billion project was to begin this year. Authorities say two Postal Service workers have been fatally shot at a postal facility in Memphis, Tennessee. This woman was a cousin to one of the victims, James Wilson.
You couldn't ask for a better manager or supervisor or nothing like that. But I know that he's going to be missed, and I love him. I'm gonna miss him.
A third postal employee was identified as the shooter. Officials say that person died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. A coroner in Wyoming has announced how Long Island native Gabby Petito died. Her body was found last month near a camping site in northern Wyoming. Dr. Brent Blue.
The Teton County Coroner Office is filing the following verdict in the death of Gabrielle Lenora Petito. We hereby find the cause and manner of death to be the cause death by strangulation and manner is homicide.
Coroner Dr. Brent Blue, Petito's fiancé, Brian Laundrie, who was traveling with the 22-year-old woman, is considered a person of interest in her disappearance, and he remains missing. A jury has been selected for the trial of Lev Parnas, a one-time associate of Rudy Giuliani, who is accused, along with a co-defendant, of making illegal campaign contributions. Opening statements are set for this morning. Prosecutors say Parnas made improper contributions, including a $325,000 donation in 2018 to a committee supporting then-President Donald Trump. Boeing has told employees they must be vaccinated against COVID or possibly be fired. The Seattle Times reports the deadline for workers at the aerospace giant is December 8th. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bird Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, word is 94% of NBA players have gotten the vaccine. Nets star Kyrie Irving among the 6% that have not. He plays in New York where there's a mandate against playing without it. Instead of an unprecedented situation where Irving would play only road games, the Nets announced he won't play at all. So a team with three stars down to two. Kevin Durant, James Harden, the Nets general manager, Sean Marks.
Our goals have not changed. You know, the goals, ultimately still are to be the last team standing. And that's where we're going to be. And without a doubt, losing a player of Kyrie's caliber hurts from a talent perspective, no question. I'm not going to deny that.
When asked if Durant and Harden were in on the decision, Mark said it was made by him and owner Joe Tsai, but that everyone was aware of it. NBA season tips off next week. NHL's underway. They raised the Stanley Cup banner for the second straight year at Tampa Bay. And then the Lightning lost to the Penguins 6-2. Vegas beats Seattle 4-3. First game for the expansion Kraken. Opening night for the Rangers and their new coach Gerard Gallant is tonight at the Garden versus Washington. Caps maybe without their injured star Alex Ovechkin. Baseball playoffs. Houston all over the White Sox 10-1 to win that series in four games. And the Astros will now play the Red Sox in the ALCS. Atlanta on a Freddie Freeman home run, eighth inning, top Milwaukee 5-4 to win that series 3-1. The Dodgers beat the Giants 7-2. They'll have a decisive game 5 tomorrow in San Francisco. John Gruden, who just resigned in disgrace as Raiders coach, was in the Tampa Bay Ring of Honor for coaching the Buccaneers to a Super Bowl win. The Bucs have now removed Gruden's name. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures up 9 points now. Dow futures up 45. NASDAQ futures up 64.5 points. The 10-year Treasury is higher by 3/32. The yield 1.56%. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. Visionary asset managers find opportunity where others are challenged. Exploit disruption's potential with SEI's global operating platform. Find out how at SEIC.com/IMS. And futures are higher. Right now, S&P futures up about 12 points. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures up 81. And the 10-year Treasury up 4/32. Yield 1.56%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.34%. It is 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update. It is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Now with the latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, right now Bitcoin is trading below 55,000. There's still concern over potential moves by regulators to tighten oversight of the cryptocurrency market. And yesterday, a flurry of selling briefly pushed Bitcoin to its biggest intraday drop in more than 2 weeks. But the world's largest cryptocurrency is still up more than 90% this year, and it still remains within sight of its all-time high of about 65,000 that it reached in April. Now, this month alone, Bitcoin has climbed more than 25%, and it's still gaining popularity among leaders who want to integrate it into their systems. The city of Miami is making a push into cryptocurrencies. Mayor Francis Suarez tells us he wants to pay city employees in Bitcoin.
It's a major priority for me because I want us to differentiate ourselves as a crypto capital of the United States or of the world.
Miami Mayor Francis Suarez tells Bloomberg's Emily Chang that Miami will issue a request for proposal this month to help create that Bitcoin payment mechanism. He's also requesting to let residents pay fees and potentially even taxes in Bitcoin. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen?
All right, Renita, thank you. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you kindly. Members of the House have approved a short-term hike to the nation's debt limit. Last night's vote ensures the federal government can continue fully paying its bills into December. Major League Baseball, it will be the Astros against the Red Sox in the AL Championship Series. Houston eliminated the White Sox. In the NLDS, the Braves advance to the Championship Series, eliminating the Brewers. Atlanta will have to wait to see if they will face the Dodgers or the Giants, because L.A. forced a deciding Game 5 in their NLDS, beating San Francisco 7-2. Ice, baby. The new NHL season, I'll never do that again. It began just last night. The Penguins and Golden Knights were winners. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Too cold, Michael. Thank you. 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We go from cold to hot with a red-hot economy with inflation risk front and center once again for investors in just a couple hours when the Consumer Price Index for the month of September comes out. Ahead of that release, Bloomberg Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee is with us. Michael, great to talk with you ahead of the CPI. Obviously, price pressures have been all over this economy over the last couple months, really. So what should we be looking for specifically in the September print?
We've been watching inflation rise at a steadily increasing pace until August, when it rose, but not quite as much. And that's going to be the question today. Does it continue to rise at a faster pace, or does it start to back off? Does the Fed's wish for transitory inflation start to come true? The forecast of economists surveyed by Bloomberg is that it won't. It will flatten out, and we will see a little bit of a bump in the core rate of CPI. But at this point, we're still seeing inflationary pressures. It's result of the natural disasters we saw, the hurricanes, and of course the fires out west, and then the supply chain issues that we've had post-pandemic.
Yeah, a lot of that plays into the supply chain pressure, some of the natural disaster phenomena we've seen. We heard from the White House this morning, we're expecting to hear more later today, about the Biden administration's efforts to sort of smooth out supply chains and sort of get everybody on a 24/7 clip when it comes to getting goods to where they need to be. What could that do for supply chains going forward?
Well, it isn't clear how fast they can react. That's the problem. Even if the federal government starts to put its muscle behind it, there are issues with getting supplies from places that the federal government, the U.S. federal government, can't necessarily reach. A good example for you, Nathan, today is the largest maker of soy sauce in China, which is primary exporter to the United States, says they're raising prices about 6 to 8% because their raw material costs have gone up. And we can't really change that. So food prices have been a major issue for Americans, and it's just one tiny little area in which it's going to continue.
We're also going to get the minutes from the September Fed meeting later on today, as if there weren't enough coming out from the Fed this morning. Are we expecting that we're going to see a November taper sort of sealed in here?
That's kind of the expectation on Wall Street. At this point, the Fed has all but said we're going to taper. Every Fed speaker so far has said they're pretty much on board with the idea of a taper soon. They haven't mentioned the month of November, but Wall Street has said it's November, and they haven't disputed it. So that's probably what we're going to get. As long as the CPI isn't some weird number today, I think the markets are just going to price in the November move and move on. Then it becomes a question, and you and I will debate this for months on the radio, is when do they start raising rates? But that's going to be a separate issue down the road.
Yeah, I think it probably another few months, certainly. And when it comes to the main drivers of price inflation that we're seeing here, Mike, what are you expecting that we're going to get from the September report in our last 30 seconds here?
Probably going to see durable goods prices rise, things that they had to get. You have to get parts from other places that have gone up in price, and steel, for washing machines and stoves and things like that. Also, gasoline and oil in terms of the headline number. And that's the part that's hardest, because there's nothing the government can do about that or the Fed can do about that. But those are the prices that people notice.
All right. We'll be watching for it. Bloomberg Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee with us this morning, and we will be getting that September CPI, 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We'll have full coverage for you here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television. Thanks again, Mike, for being with us. S&P futures ahead of that, up by 8.5 points. Dow futures up 36. NASDAQ futures higher by 71 points. And the 10-year Treasury is up 430 seconds. The yield 1.56. Yield on the 2-year right now, 0.34%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Experience the e-tron family of fully electric vehicles at your tri-state Audi dealer today, delivering the performance you expect from Audi with an eye towards a more sustainable future.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. And U.S. futures are higher this morning as we await a key reading on inflation plus the start of bank earnings. Let's start with the data. About 3 hours from now, we get, or 2 hours from now, make it, we get September's reading on consumer prices and possible clues on whether inflation is waning or gathering steam. For Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, the data still points to high prices being a momentary phenomenon.
I believe it's transitory, but I don't mean to suggest that these pressures will disappear in the next month or two. This is an unprecedented shock to the global economy.
Secretary Yellen tells CBS News she thinks supply chain disruptions will dissipate slowly, and in the meantime, consumers should not panic.
And the other big item this morning, Karen, you alluded to it, the earnings from J.P. Morgan Chase. The firm kicks off bank earnings season less than an hour from now. Overall, analysts expect trading activity to remain muted, while investment banking benefits from a surge in deals.
Shares of Apple down about 0.5% in early trading. Bloomberg News has learned the global chip crunch has the company ready to slash iPhone production. And here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Prolonged chip shortages are hitting its flagship product. Sources say the company had expected to produce 90 million new iPhone models in the last 3 months of the year, but now it's telling manufacturing partners that the total will be lower because Broadcom and Texas Instruments are struggling to deliver enough components. The technology giant is one of the world's largest chip buyers and sets the annual rhythm for the electronics supply chain. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, Texas appears to be losing a battle with corporate America over vaccine mandates. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that story. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Companies from American Airlines to IBM are rebuffing Texas Governor Greg Abbott's order banning private employers from mandating COVID-19 vaccines. Instead, they're choosing to follow President Biden's directive for the shots. This shows the difficult path ahead for the Republican governor's rule, which is supposed to be enforceable with fines, but could get mired into legal limbo. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 40, and NASDAQ futures up 70. The 10-year Treasury up 330 seconds, yield 1.56%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.34%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus the check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street, 64 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with a crash on the Brooklyn-bound upper level of the Verrazano Bridge. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The brakes have been put on a project to build an elevated rail link connecting New York City to LaGuardia Airport. The Port Authority said it is pausing the project to consider alternatives. The FAA issued environmental approval in July, but recently had asked the Port Authority to reconsider in light of a lawsuit filed by neighborhood and environmental groups. The roughly $2 billion project was to begin this year. The coroner, who examined the remains of Long Island native Gabby Petito, says that the cause of her death was strangulation. Petito disappeared in Wyoming while on a cross-country drive with her fiancée, Brian Laundry. Laundry himself is missing and is a person of interest in Petito's death. Former New York City Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce says the killer may have left identifying evidence at the scene.
The coroner went out of his way to say that the body was out for 3 weeks. So you lose evidence in those psychiatric conditions, this high elevation, weather, plus wildlife issues as well that can affect the body. But if his DNA is under her fingernails, that's pretty damning evidence, despite the fact they were living together.
Former NYPD Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce spoke to ABC. Three people are dead after a shooting at a U.S. Postal Service facility in Memphis, Tennessee. FBI spokesperson Lisa Ann Culp told reporters all three dead were postal employees.
The shooter is one of the three employees deceased by an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound.
No motive for the shooting has been released. Boeing has told employees they must be vaccinated against COVID-19 or possibly be fired. The deadline for workers at the aerospace giant is December 8th. Actor William Shatner is counting down to his ride into space. Best known for his role as Captain Kirk on TV Star Trek, the 90-year-old Shatner joined three other passengers for the planned launch from West Texas this morning. In a tweet, Shatner talked about the trip into the final frontier.
There is this mystique of being in space and that much closer to the stars and being weightless. I shall be entranced by the view of space.
Jeff Bezos' space travel company Blue Origin invited Shatner on the 10-minute ride, which will make him the oldest person in space. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Spock, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Entrancing report. Thank you, Michael. All right, just about 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets say Kyrie Irving left them with no choice. He has not gotten the vaccine. There's a mandate in New York City not allowing unvaxxed people into a large gathering. So when the Nets begin their season, week from Friday in Brooklyn versus Milwaukee, no Kyrie. And while he could play road games, the Nets say he won't. General Manager Sean Marks asked if this will go on all season.
Hope is that we have Kyrie back. You know, we'll welcome him back in open arms under a different set of circumstances. And so we need to wait and see how that transpires. But in the meantime, you know, we need to focus on the 16 players that that are going to be on this roster moving forward, you know, with us.
The NBA mandated that any players who can't play for being unvaxxed can't get paid for those games. And Irving will get paid for the road games that he could play in, but the Nets are not allowing him to. Ben Simmons demanded a trade out of Philadelphia, so there have been plenty of Simmons for Kyrie trade rumors. The Sixers reportedly have no interest in doing that, and Simmons did just finally report. They dropped the puck on a new NHL season last night. First game for the expansion Seattle Kraken, a loss at Vegas. They're playing their first five games on the road. The Islanders play their first 13 on the road until their new arena is ready. The Rangers open up tonight at the Garden with Washington. The ALCS will be the Red Sox versus the Astros, who crushed the White Sox 10-1. Game one is Friday in Houston. Atlanta finished off Milwaukee 5-4 on a Freddie Freeman home run eighth inning. The Braves will now face whoever wins game five tomorrow in San Francisco. Dodgers and Giants. L.A. stayed alive, winning 7-2. ESPN reports the Yankees are leaning towards keeping, not firing Aaron Boone, but perhaps making some changes on the coaching staff. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, good morning. Got some big news from Apple this morning, but not a whole lot of movement for the stock.
No, not so much, Nathan. I mean, the shares are down 0.5% in early trading. And people with knowledge of the matter said the iPhone maker is likely to reduce production of its latest models this quarter because of a chip shortage. They said the cut may be as large as 10 million units. That would be about 11%. And we're seeing some of Apple's suppliers fall on the prospect of those iPhone output reductions. You got Broadcom lower by 1% in early trading, Qorvo down 1%, and Skyworks Solutions down 2.5% after being cut to neutral from the equivalent of buy, Robert W. Baird. Also, Jabil lower by 1.5%. Data compiled by Bloomberg shows Apple is the electronics assembler's biggest customer.
And now we have some moves as well for a chip maker.
Indeed, and one certainly affected by Apple, but there's something else going on at Qualcomm, and the shares are up 2%. The maker of mobile phone chips increased a stock buyback program by $10 billion. Now, Qualcomm had $900 million of repurchases left under a plan adopted in 2018. And then we turn to earnings. We're waiting. We should get in the next few minutes results from J.P. Morgan, which would become the first of the largest U.S. banks to report third quarter results. Now, analysts in a Bloomberg survey expect earnings per share to rise 2% after surging in the first and second quarters. J.P. Morgan shares little changed in advance of those results. Delta Airlines also due out before the opening bell is up 1%. The carrier's third quarter results they show the first profit in seven quarters. That's according to analysts as well. BlackRock's numbers are out for the third quarter, and that stock's higher by 0.5%. The world's largest money manager posted earnings and revenue that beat estimates, though assets under management dropped a bit to just below $9.5 trillion. A couple of analyst calls of note. Monster Beverage down 2%. The energy drink maker was reduced to hold from by Jefferies, and Wayfair lower by 3%. The online seller of home furnishings was lower to hold from by from at Jefferies as well. And there's Plug Power up 5.5%. The provider of hydrogen fuel cell systems was raised to the equivalent of buy from hold at Morgan Stanley. And Plug Power is up for a seventh day. And if that holds up, it would be the longest winning streak since January for that stock, Nathan.
Wow. All right. Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, thank you for that. Looking at stocks as a whole, ahead of the open and ahead of those results from J.P. Morgan Chase, we see futures moving higher with S&P futures up almost 6 points. Dow futures up 21. NASDAQ futures on the rise by nearly 60 points. This is Bloomberg. As we come up to 6:41 on Wall Street, the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and J.P. Morgan Chase earnings crossing the Bloomberg with revenue beating analyst estimates. We're going to break those down in just moments from now. But first, we go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest gains for the U.S. futures right now. Dow futures up 22 points. S&P's gained 6. NASDAQ futures are higher by 63. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.56%. Gold is up 10. Oil is down. And Shanghai rose 0.4% overnight, where European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the Consumer Price Index, and 2 o'clock minutes from the FOMC. After the bell last night, it was reported that Apple is poised to slash iPhone production due to the chip shortage. And regarding earnings this morning, SAP raised its full-year revenue forecast. BlackRock beat, and you mentioned J.P. Morgan. Wrapping things up, Sempra was cut to neutral at Goldman Sachs, and Wayfair was cut to hold over at Jefferies. Live from the First Republic News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. We're going to break down those J.P. Morgan earnings in just moments from now. This update was brought to you by Withum, more than CPAs. They are trusted advisors offering smart business solutions to help companies innovate, grow, and stay secure in today's complex world. Visit Withum.com for more. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The House approved a temporary raise of the nation's borrowing limit, holding off a debt default only until December. The vote was along party lines. President Biden is expected to sign the debt limit increase into law later this week. The U.S. is moving to lift pandemic-related restrictions at points of entry along the Mexico and Canada borders, allowing non-essential travel into the U.S. beginning next month. Travelers have to show proof of vaccination. Major League Baseball, it will be the Astros against the Red Sox in the AL Championship Series. Houston eliminated the White Sox in the NLDS. The Braves advanced to the Championship Series, eliminating the Brewers. Atlanta, they'll have to wait to see if they will face the Dodgers or the Giants. L.A. forced the deciding Game 5 in their NLDS, beating San Francisco 7-2. The NHL season debuted last night. The Penguins and Golden Knights were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street, and as Karen mentioned, earnings from J.P. Morgan Chase are crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Let's get some analysis now. Break down these results with Bloomberg Intelligence senior analyst Allison Williams. Allison, good morning. As Karen mentioned, we did get a beat on adjusted revenue from J.P. Morgan Chase and the line from Jamie Dimon that just crossed the terminal. The economic outlook continues to improve. What's standing out for you this morning?
So the economic outlook continues to improve, and that led to a very big reserve release. So this is something that we've continued to see. Charge-offs and credit quality, great. But the number one number that the first thing we looked at is net interest income, which was bang in line. So that's good, but not great. But really for there, we're looking for what the loan growth is. We haven't seen that number yet. We do see Jamie saying that they're seeing signs of commercial real estate loan growth. I think that we've heard that from several banks in the last couple of months, that there's some demand percolating there, but we're going to want to see what's happening with card and if that's more widespread. Of course, the other thing we always focus on with the investment banks is the trading line, because that's where we can get a lot of volatility. And for JP Morgan, much better equities coming in, equities trading better, FIC trading better, investment banking fees better. So very good result in the investment bank.
And we're seeing the stock little changed as we continue to watch these numbers come down. When you have things like beats on the fixed interest trading side, the sales and trading revenue side, but coming in line on net interest income, what does that tell you about where things stand for the big firms?
Well, as I said, net interest income is in line. We know that the interest rate environment has improved. When we're looking at loans for JP Morgan, it looks like they're about flat sequentially. So, that's might be a little bit softer than some had expected. We're going to want to hear about what's happening in terms of underlying demand, because, as you know, with earnings, they're backward looking, and what we care about is the forward look. So what's happening on the demand side, and can that get a lift? Because net interest income, I think, is really, where the banks need to get some growth next year when we're thinking about the 2022 outlook. So it's great that trading is better. Investment banking fees are better than expected, keeping in mind that it's probably seasonally down from the prior quarter. But in order to, I think, get some lift to the estimates next year, we need to see better trends in net interest income. That means better loan growth, at least for now, as we wait for the Fed to increase interest rates. And that's something we're going to want to dig into a little bit.
Yeah, we just saw the line on third quarter loans coming in exactly on estimates. So in our last 30 seconds here, Allison, how does this set us up for the reporting from four more banks we're going to get tomorrow?
So setting a high bar on trading, but JP Morgan often does that on the net interest income side. I would say, so far just bang in line. So not a big disappointment, but also, we're going to need, I think, more reasons for optimism. So as we head into the results tomorrow, looking for how the banks performed competitively in the investment banks, but also looking for what the banks are seeing on the loan growth side. For JP Morgan, they are a little bit more skewed to card. Mm-hmm. We're going to want to see what's in the commercial business, because that is really going to give us the look for Wells Fargo and Bank of America.
Allison Williams of Bloomberg Intelligence, as we continue to watch the numbers come down from JP Morgan Chase for the third quarter. Allison, thank you. Karen?
All right, Nathan, it's 6:53 on Wall Street. We turn now to news in science and technology with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes infrastructure-ready graduates from civil engineers to transportation specialists. If it's infrastructure, NJIT grads are building it. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Actor William Shatner is counting down to his wildest role yet, riding a rocket into space courtesy of Star Trek fan Jeff Bezos. Best known for his role as Captain Kirk, the 90-year-old Shatner will join three other passengers for the planned launch from West Texas. Bezos' space travel company Blue Origin invited Shatner on the brief jaunt to the fringes of the final frontier, which will make him the oldest person in space. The global chip shortage is hitting Apple flagship products. Bloomberg News has learned that the company will probably slash projected iPhone 13 production targets by as many as 10 million units. Apple had expected to produce 90 million new iPhone models in the last 3 months of the year. Now it's telling manufacturing partners that the total will be lower. And for the first time, the Food and Drug Administration has authorized an electronic cigarette, saying the vaping device from R.J. Reynolds can help smokers cut back on conventional cigarettes. E-cigarettes have been sold in the U.S. for more than a decade with minimal government oversight or research. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:55 on Wall Street. Now time to take a look at what's going on in D.C., where the House is sending a short-term debt ceiling increase to President Biden's desk as Democrats remain divided on how to slice the president's economic agenda. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins for an update on what's happening in the nation's capital. So, debt crisis averted, Emily, for about another 7 or 8 weeks. Where did all this brinkmanship around the debt, what did it actually accomplish?
It means that we avoid a shutdown on October 18th. But at this point, the dynamics are such that there's still a potential for a showdown before the new December 3rd deadline. Republicans have said that while they helped raise this measure in the stopgap, they will not be raising the debt limit in the long term. And so that leaves Democrats with a couple different options on how to go forward. They said they don't want to use that reconciliation process that would allow them to raise the debt limit without Republican votes. But that's something that is now being discussed and could potentially be the path forward here.
What are the discussions looking like for Democrats now when it comes to President Biden's economic agenda? It looks like the top line, at least the 3.5 million we've been talking about for so long, is going to be coming down.
Absolutely. We knew several weeks ago that that would now be more between 1.9 trillion and say 2.3 trillion. Question, of course, where are those cuts going to come from? And you have this debate now going on. Do Democrats want to sort of only put forward fewer items in this bill and make sure that they are very well funded? Or do they want to have a large number of items passed as part of this package, but maybe only fund them for a couple of years or use means testing so that people who make under a certain income level would be getting these benefits? So those discussions are really going on right now within the Democratic caucus. And at this point, we don't have any clear answers about which path they're going to take. Remember, Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that she now had an October 31st deadline to try to get this done.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins keeping us up to speed on everything happening in the nation's capital. We'll have to leave it there for now, but you can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Continuing to watch shares of JP Morgan Chase. Little changed in the pre-market after the big Wall Street bank came in with third quarter earnings and revenue that beat the average analyst estimate. S&P futures now higher by 5 points, Dow futures up 15, NASDAQ futures higher by 58 points. Bloomberg Surveillance is next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.